This is the Gospel of Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the Gospel.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
I'll get comfy for a bit. Just even as we were in worship there, and I was looking over my notes for today. I just feel like it's important today for us to just hear those words from the Gospel again, and let them wash over you. This is Jesus speaking, and there's such a beautiful way in which in the Gospels, as he speaks to those who are there in the moment to hear him, but he speaks to us today. So like, hear these life-giving words, hear these refreshing words, especially where you're heavy laden. Especially anywhere where you feel that way. And even I just feel like even for us as a church today, just to hear this. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus speaks these words into the lives of people who so genuinely, well, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I think a lot of them who are genuinely at the core of it, trying to follow God, wanting to live righteous lives, wanting to be in the right way. And of course, for the people who Jesus is talking to, the law had become central to their understanding of how you do this. But what Jesus is speaking into is a situation where the law, the way of righteousness, has become like a heavy yoke. It's become crushing. For people, it's become like a burden that they feel on a daily, consistent basis. There's different times when Jesus speaks very candidly with the leaders of the synagogues and of the religious system at this time, and is quite hard on them for the way that they've turned it into that for the people. That they just, you know, there's different times even where Jesus is called out for healing on the Sabbath, for example. And his reaction to the religious leaders that are upset with him for that shows his hardness. Like, you've turned this into something so heavy, so crushing, so burdensome, that it no longer reflects its author. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. How are you marrying these two things? Your understanding of God and this way that you're sort of ascribing to him. You're telling people this is ultimately, this is the way God calls us to live. Right to the point at which when a woman who's been sick for years, Jesus has compassion and heals her on the Sabbath, they're upset. Because you don't work on the Sabbath. Jesus says, give me a break. How many of you untied your donkeys this morning and took them to water? But you won't allow for the kingdom to come on the Sabbath. Like, guys, right? And so here he steps into the lives of people who are living under this and who are experiencing it like a burden, like a heavy yoke, and he speaks into them, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, who labor, and I will give you rest. Like, just the way that would have hit hearts and spirits, right? Because Jesus is saying a whole lot more than in this passage than just physical labor, you know, you who are like exhausted physically. I think probably some of them were feeling that way. And as I was reflecting on it for us as a church, I thought about that, how when we begin to walk under some of the things God's called us to in a wrong way, it manifests itself physically. Like we are not only spiritually tired, but we become physically tired. And I don't know how you kind of describe this, but almost like even as it relates to motivation, right? Like our dreams get tired, you know, the part of us that expects, where expectation comes, it's tired. Mm-hmm. You know, we just get, so people start using language of vision and you can almost hear the groan. Oh, here we go again, right? Another church planner with a new vision. Like, you know, I've had people say to me, you know, oh, you're planning a church, eh? What's the vision? Right? Because they're tired. They're like weary from it. They're like vision weary. Because in their lives, and as I sit with them, and I've had to realize even in my own, they've been in situations where vision or a calling of God became crushing weight. Like it just became different than what God had intended when he brought it or gave it. These words are so worth considering personally in Lent, and we'll just touch on it really quick because I want to spend most of our time together looking at and even talking a bit about it corporately. But personally, as it relates to our own hearts and our own lives, this passage has beautiful things to speak into our Lent season, right? Where we come into a season of repentance and we are able to sit in this space and realize that where the law has become a heavy burden placed on us, Jesus invites us to exchange that yoke, that burden, for a different one. Jeremiah passage that Alec read is really beautiful. He read Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Let me read verse 5 for you again. Then I said, Jeremiah saying, "These are only the poor, and they have no sense, for they do not know the way of the Lord or the justice of their God. I'll go to the great, and I'll speak to them. For they know the way of the Lord and the justice of God. But they all alike had broken the yoke. They had burst the bonds." Jeremiah is a prophet called by God into lives, and as he goes to speak to them, to call them to the way of the Lord, he's kind of at a loss to find anyone who gets it, right? So he starts to realize, well, maybe it's who I'm talking to. Like, maybe it's the audience. They don't get it. I'll go to the great. I'll go to the educated, and they'll get it. He says, but when I got there, I realized that all alike had broken the yoke, that they had burst the bonds, that they had separated themselves from God. Jeremiah comes into a time in the life of the people of God that is a mess. It stands in deep need of repentance. And that's kind of how we're humbly wanting to come into Lent. To say, Lord, if there's any part of my life, any way of my heart that stands in that need of repentance, right? Anywhere where I have broken the yoke, burst the bonds. And the idea being this, that in the imagery of the prophet, the people of God were yoked to their God. That he was their God and they were his people. That Moses says at one point, Lord, don't let us go from this place if you don't go with us. Why? Because how else will they know that we are your people? Yeah. Like we are yoked to you, right? And so Jeremiah comes into a season in the people of God when that yoke has been broken, he says. And everywhere he looks, everyone he goes to, they've broken the yoke. The people of God are no longer yoked to their God. We read through the Decalogue together today, the Ten Commandments. And so much of, especially the first of the commandments, speaks to this yoke. Right? You shall have no other God. Make no idols. Do not be yoked anywhere else. And so the call of God, or the invitation of God, and even for Jeremiah to the people, what he's sending through Jeremiah is, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled. Be yoked. Come back to, right? This place where the yoke has been broken. let it be mended. Where you've burst the bonds, be bound again to Christ. Jeff's led us in a beautiful song today, Bind My Heart. Bind it again. Come back. Joel chapter 2 is one of our Lenten passages on Ash Wednesday. Right? Repent, but also be bound again to Christ. Like, rend your hearts and not your garments, it says. Right? And repent and return to the Lord. This is the constant call of God to us. And Lent is such a beautiful place for that, for us personally, to this, right? To come again. Important to remember that we have a yoke. When we read this passage and we let it wash over us in its life-giving sense and its refreshing sense, it would be wrong for us to somehow think that what Jesus is saying is like, I just set you free to run wild, right? Like, just go, you know, dance. You know, I always think we had good friends on the island who lived out in the country for a long time, and their youngest son was born when they lived there. And so his first couple of years of life, he hardly wore clothing, especially if they were home. And so he would just run around the yard and do that. I mean, it didn't matter. No one else was around. Well, they moved into town when he was about 3 years old, and it took them a few months to get him to the place where he understood you can't just run around in the yard anymore naked. He would run in not just the backyard. Like, he didn't, because he had no concept of anything different, you know. God's not trying to, like, release us to this place of just wildness, right, in these statements. It starts with, come to me. And then he begins to say, like, all you who are heavy, like, this yoke, this burden that's on you, let me take it off of you. But let me put on you mine. So it's important for us to recognize, even in Lent, that what we're being freed to, or what the process is of repentance, is coming back into to be yoked to Christ. That we have a yoke. It is the nature of the yoke that's being described here, not the absence of one. In Jeremiah 5, we see a people condemned due to their refusal to repent, and as a result, having broken the yoke and burst the bonds. We actually need a yoke. We need these bonds. What Jeremiah speaks of yoke and bonds, were not to be broken. And now that they have, there's a problem. Like, we actually need a yoke, a bond. Freedom isn't life without them, but is found in their restraint and in their direction. And so even as we hear those words, don't just hear a loosing from yoke and bond. Hear that. Like, where you're under, even in your own life and in your own heart, have come under, whether it be, you know, these sort of like embellished yokes like the people of Pharisees have created. But also, we come under yokes. We become enslaved. We become bound to the things of our flesh and of our sin. So hear Christ inviting you to come and to have those removed. Right? But also hear the good news of Jesus saying, let me bind you to myself. Come to me. Right? What makes this yoke different, though? What makes the yoke that we take on different than the one that we take off? Ultimately, it's simply, when you read this, it's Jesus. It is the one speaking. It's the one that we're yoked to that makes it different. Who we're yoked to and how we're bound and to whom makes a huge difference in our lives. John chapter 15 uses that picture of the vine and the branches, that we be connected like branches to a vine. And that if we want to be fruitful, if we want to see life in us and come through us, we need to be bound to Christ as Christ was to the Father. And he even points out in that passage, and I'll just give you this, you can think on it as you have time, but we don't have time to sit in it for long, but just in this Lent season, the key, or the kind of like the way that happens, according to John 15, is obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Remain in my love. How? Obedience. Come under. Let me be Lord. Like, follow the way I set before you. And trust me, it's an easy burden. A light yoke. You just got to trust me on this. I know it stirs up fear of the opposite, but he's promising, and this is Matthew chapter 11. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Okay. And so coming into obedience, coming into surrender to that is the way that we yoke ourselves to God, yoke ourselves to Christ. As we seek to, as people, but as a church, as we seek to participate in the work of the kingdom, which would be a great way to talk about, as far as I'm concerned, church planning, what it is that we're wanting to do, we must not neglect or ignore the state of our own hearts and lives. It doesn't work for us to begin to put our hands to the plow and ignore the state of our own hearts. And at dinner with Alec and Catherine last night, and just celebrated together how deeply the Lord has buried that in our hearts in our journey with Via so far. That where you are at and where your heart is matters. Yeah, and it matters more than what you can do or what you could get for us or afford for us or accomplish for us. But Christ goes, no, you matter. Your heart matters. Mm-hmm. And so don't put your hand to the plow to the neglect of your heart. Right? And that's praise God for Lent. To just take a season and just say, God, here I am. Search my heart. Show me if there's any wrong way in me, right? And if you're anything like me, I don't say that in the sense of like, you know, if there's anything wrong, like show me what it is. I know there's stuff. Like I'm in ready to be like, yeah, like, you know, maybe one day I'll get to the place where I'm a bit more like, you know, Lord, if there's anything, you know, I'm not sure what that would be, but like, whatever. I'm like, no, I already know a few of the things you want to talk about, but if there's anything else, you know, feel free to add it to the list. I actually want us to consider for a minute, you know, we laugh and we because we can be honest and we can, you know, we've come to a place of confidence before the throne of grace together, and I think that's very healthy. But I'd like us to consider for a moment, in the same way that we do of our individual lives, I'd like us to actually consider for a minute the mess that we are, that surrounds us. It can be a little bit like, oh boy. But I don't know if you watch the news or read the news. I probably could more. But every time that I do, the same thing happens for me. I just am like blown away by the mess we're in. It's just amazing to me, you know. I was just in Starbucks and there was a guy in there with a sweatshirt on that said, fashion has no gender. And I thought, I don't even know what that means. Like, we're to the point now where it's just like, we're making public statements that are like, I don't even know what that means. Like, it's just getting, but my heart sunk somehow. I thought there's, and I think it was probably something in the spirit that I was not, I don't know, but there's just something going on, right? My heart is sinking in the middle of it, and I'm like, I don't even know why anymore. Like, I don't even know what that means, you know? We're surrounded, we've got like a real mess on our hands. Jesus took on flesh in the midst of a mess. Like, it's not new. Ever since the fall, it's been a mess. But as we go to plant a church, as we go to walk in kingdom participation where God's called us, I think it actually makes sense, in the same way we do it personally today, to think about the way in which our culture, our world, the people that we are loving and reaching out to are laboring and heavy laden, are crushed underneath the mess. It often doesn't, you know, there's the odd person that wants to really fight admitting that, but most people, it doesn't take long even in a conversation to get to it, right? Some of it the mess, some of it just the reality of life, given sin and death, right? Like people who have had tragedy and loss and those kind of things. But for us to like think on that now, but even just in this season, and to be able to sit in that place with the hope of the gospel, don't get taken out by it, but like, see it. Jesus saw it. It says how many times he was moved by compassion. Why? Because he saw the mess in front of him. He was not blind to the darkness around him. He saw it. He saw the people in it. Like, some of my favorite moments are when Jesus looks those people in the eye and it says he saw him. Like, he was aware, he was present to it, he was in the middle of it, right? Jesus didn't spend all his time in the synagogue. He got right out into the mess, and he allowed himself to touch it, to see it. So for us to even do that a little bit today, and as you do that, it is very right that you would begin to feel a burden. Like, as you sit with people who are confused about life and the gospel, people who are in the throes of, like, relational breakdown, who are just enslaved by, you know, brokenness sexually, and these, like, it is right that you feel a burden, that you share with Christ the burden he feels. But when that burden becomes heavy, and I was thinking about that this week, like, what does that look like? Like, when it starts to look like anxiety, when it starts to induce fear in you, or like utter just discouragement, like, just, this is, you know, and I'm tempted to it sometimes. When it creates a sense of overwhelmed in you, like, just heaviness, when it becomes heavy, you should stop and ask yourself two questions. Number one, am I abiding in Christ? So come back to John 15. So that's the first thing you should ask yourself when that starts to happen in light of it. I feel totally, like, crushed by it, right? So now I feel the burden, but the burden's starting to crush me. Stop and ask yourself, am I abiding in Christ? And two things are happening. One is, am I abiding in Christ? Like, I would encourage you to think about in those places, what does my prayer life look like? Like, do I have spiritual formations which I'm abiding in Christ? But think too about the state of your heart. Are you in need of repentance? And I don't think we can shortchange this. If you're feeling crushed by things, and there's active sin in your life, unrepentant sin in your life, there's a connection between the two things. Is important for us as we walk as a church together to recognize that. The glory of the gospel and the good news of the gospel, there's like an easy thing. It's not hard to figure out, what do I do? Like, when we ask that question, realize, no, I'm not. What do I do? We repent. It doesn't create an insurmountable problem for us. It doesn't disqualify us. It doesn't lead us into even greater sense of burden, right? It shouldn't, if we understand it correctly, right? So that's why I say that's the first question you should ask yourself. Am I abiding in Christ? When I see these things and the weight of them come on me, am I abiding in Christ? Am I taking those things to him? Am I praying into those things? But also, like, where is the state of my heart and my life right now? Is there ways in which my own yoke has been broken? And now I'm in the middle of this burden, unyoked or semi-yoked, you know? Kind of like, of course, we've all got cars and things and tractors and whatever, so most of us haven't actually worked with yokes, but I think it would probably be really weird to have, it'd be pretty hard to operate two ox connected by a broken one.
Yeah.
Right? It would be like, let's stop and fix the yoke before we keep plowing the field. Like, and so for you, just that's the picture, right? If those things, it's becoming like, stop, and if the yoke is broken, fix the yoke. Don't just keep on plowing. Second question, is the burden that you feel from his hand? It might even make total sense. Like, it could be heavy, right? But is the burden you feel been placed on you by him? Come to me, I will give you rest. But then he says, he will put his burden on you. Right? This is the promise of it. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's the burden I'm placing on you. So it makes sense to me that if the burden is getting heavy or crushing for us as individuals or as a church, that we stop and ask ourselves, okay, wait a second, right? We are not called as the Vancouver to carry the entirety of the burden that is on God's heart. You know, I actually had to think really hard about whether I could say that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yikes. I actually had to sit with that one. Of course that's true. Yeah, right? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, that is true. Right? Like the entirety of the work of reconciliation that God is up to, He has not placed on us. Praise God. So as we watch and as we look at the mess we're in, remember your responsibility is to faithfully and obediently carry the gospel in the midst of it. And as Jesus leads you, yoked to Christ. And that's, so I want us to think today a little bit about the burden that God's placed on us as a community. And over these next weeks, that's, I think, where we're going to kind of anchor some conversations. Because I think as He begins to really speak by the Spirit into those things, and I've got some thoughts about how we can kind of go at that together, but as we discern together and as we pray over these weeks, and as He brings clarity to that, it's going to suddenly feel like an easy yoke and a light burden. And it's going to feel like, yeah, let's do this. The part of our hearts where excitement comes from and anticipation is going to start to feel good again. Right? Words like vision are going to be exciting to us. How do we do that, Lord? And we're going to be excited to hear and to go. When we sit in the midst of the mess, like for me, you know, one of the greatest burdens that I feel right now is in the area of gender and sexuality in our day and in our country. I don't know how to explain it. I've even asked the Lord why, but I feel it so heavy, right? And it is so good for my heart to have the Lord say, Chad, you are not responsible for the weight of that burden. I've put it on your heart, though. So maybe I am asking you to come and partner with me in part of it. Maybe this person, or maybe that situation, right? But even as you do that, if it starts to feel heavy, ask yourself two questions. Are you abiding in me? And is the burden still the nature, the shape, the weight in which I put on you? Or have you turned it into something way more and now you're crushed? Second Corinthians chapter 5 is a pretty potent passage of scripture, but one we just spent some good time in actually at Corpus.
Sorry, can you say that again?
That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm gonna read verses 14-21, and then we'll have some conversation together. The love of Christ controls us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All this is from God, Paul says, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Yoke, picture should come in there for us in light of what we're looking at today. Not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Having been reconciled or yoked to Christ, we are now entrusted with the message of reconciliation. God making his appeal through us. This is quite a calling. Right? But to remember that yoked to Christ, we are not called to accomplish God's entire work of reconciliation. That would be a crushing yoke. But we are yoked to Christ, and so we will find ourselves burdened for that which Christ's heart is burdened. So there's a tension at play here. In that gospel passage, as Jesus speaks it out, it's that same tension. Let me take that yoke off of you. Don't walk with that yoke, but walk with this yoke. I am going to put on your heart burden. It was language that actually got used while I was in Denver. They talked about the burden that you feel for the area you're in, for the people that you're serving, that you're reaching. And it just caught my heart. And I found myself, I actually have notes in my notes, a different color for things that I was just wanting to really highlight for Via Vancouver. This was one of them. We need to pray about that. What is the burden that God's putting on our heart? Right? Yoked to Christ, he has brought us here. Here today. Because yoked to Christ, he led us here. And there's reasons for that. This specific time, in this specific area, and the specific people who we will touch, there's ways in which the burden of Christ's heart for them and for this area, he wants us to partner with him in. That's exciting to me. But it's exciting to me more today than it was a few months ago, when I had added all kinds of things to what, you know, I think probably the temptation is there, like when you church plant, right? We got to do this and pull this off and be this and hit this problem and do this thing. And all. Before you know it, it's just like, oh my gosh, get me off of this bus. Right? And Jesus is literally saying, sounds good to me. Why don't you get off that bus? Get on this one. Like, break that yoke. Put this one on. I have called you though, and that excites me too, because I actually don't want to just watch paint dry. I'm excited to be a part of this work of reconciliation. God's done so much in my life. I'm really excited to be able to share that with other people, to help other people connect, right? So I'd like us to pray as a community in this season, a very specific prayer. I'd like us to pray it together today, and maybe before we go to do that together, we can talk just for a moment about it. But I would like us to start to pray this. What is the God-given burden that God is asking Via Vancouver to carry? You could probably word it differently, but what's the burden that God is placing on our hearts? If he puts a yoke and a burden on us, what is it? And I want us to pray about that. I don't want us to try and figure it out. I want us to ask him. I think if we do it the other way around, we're going to put things in the mix that he didn't intend for us to. It's not just about what I see or about what I want to see. It's about what God wants to do. And in that way, we let Him be Lord. To say, Lord, there's a mess. What part of it would you call us to speak to today? You've given us the message of reconciliation. Where do you want us to speak it? To who? In what way? And can we just like rest in that? Like just, let's just do that. Let's just be and do what God says in answer. I think if we do that and we pray that together, and so I want to pray about that together today, and in a minute here, I'd just like us to kind of break up even into, you know, pairs of threes and just spend some time praying about that. But I would really love it. We'll actually have some time as time goes on in the very near future to be able to say, what do you hear God saying? Let's talk about this, discern this together. And we'll learn a bit too together about how we do that. And so that'll be fun. We're going to prayer walk some communities. One of the things that, you know, practically speaking, I'm just excited to let the Lord in that way begin to speak to us about where does He want us. That would be kind of one of the ways. He's not called us. We're starting to realize, like, as a local congregation, to serve the entirety of the Lower Mainland. Right? So, yeah.
I was ready.
Well,
Jesse could do it, but you know.
Yeah, just me.
And there's some of us, there's some of us in this room who don't have troubles going there, right? You know, the history makers among us are going to do it. We can do it, you know? And it's like, whoa, slow down. Like, I just feel like God's saying that, going, no, I actually want to bring some clarity to this. I want to define a neighborhood for you. And then I want you to love it, the socks off that neighborhood. I just want you to just then begin to say, what are the schools in that neighborhood? Who are the politicians in that neighborhood? Who are the doctors and the firemen in that? Like, how do we, who are the children? What is the demographic? And how do you, right? And sort of like the Lord beginning to go, here is like a yoke, a burden that I'm going to give you a burden then for that neighborhood. And I think as a community, we're going to feel like, yeah, we can carry that. I know we will. God gives it to us. He knows what we can handle. So just this sense in which, so if we would just pray about those things, where is God calling us? Who's God calling us to? And what is God calling us to do? What's it to look like, you know? A couple thoughts as we go to do this. Pay close attention to what you can see already. Pay close attention to what God has already said. So we've been together for 3 years. And it has been a really important 3 years. God has laid the prophetic imagery in the beginning. It was foundations, elaborate foundations. He's done that and probably will continue to, but there's a sense of that, right? And so, but as we now step into a new season together, to begin to now live out of what He's done, He has through that time also sown some of the answers already to the question in. So remember the prophetic words that God has spoken. Remember the things that so some of that will be a part of it. As we pray, He'll bring some of that back to our recollection and maybe even give greater clarity to what He meant by certain things that He said, you know. So pay attention to what you can see already and pay attention to what God has said previously. We've come to the moment that we're in right now, yoked to Christ. He's led us here. And so it'd be very odd if in answer to this prayer that we're going to begin to pray together, that we decided that we're all going to move to Hawaii and serve trust fund kids on their surf holiday.
But if we all feel it.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I'm just saying, the word from God just came to me.
Yeah, I know. That's why I use that analogy, because I say to Jan all the time, you sure they don't need a church in Hawaii? You know, but it would be a little strange. You know, not, I mean, God can do whatever He wants. He's done strange things before. So I'm not trying to take things off the table. But as we pray, like all I'm saying is don't, as we pray this, pay attention to some obvious things, right? Like where we've seen favor, where God's put us, who He's brought, like who is this group? How has he wired us? Maybe there's some hints in there to the answer to the question. You know. So just pay attention to those kinds of things. And then know too that as we pray this prayer, part of what I hope that we're doing is that we're sewing this prayer into the very fabric and DNA of our church. Mm-hmm. We'll never stop praying this prayer. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pray it right now, and we're going to ask God to answer it, because right now, today, we need to hear him on it. But we will never stop needing to hear him on it. As we grow and as things come, there'll be days when God says, release those people to plant a church in Vancouver. Release those people to, you know, go and be a part of it. Things will continue. God will continue to lay new burdens on our hearts and different things. So we're asking it today, but don't feel the pressure in a sense that we got to answer this question and then we're like somehow locked in forever to this. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is actually something that I think we're supposed to be like just weaving into the fabric of who we are as a church forever. That we're consistently coming to the Lord and saying, God, what's the burden on your heart today? We want to partner with you in that. And we continue to pray that way. So this is like, you know, we begin to pray this prayer, but we'll never stop.